Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope that you are well and that you are looking forward to another podcast and or radio broadcast with one another. I look forward to this time each and every day, and I hope you do as well. Let's get right into the Bible in Genesis chapter 2 as we consider again God and man and woman. Today we walk into the garden that God has made for man and woman at verse 9. I'm reading from the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was Genesis 2, 9. In Genesis 2, verses 9 through 14, we have a description of the garden in Eden. The land is Eden, and within this land, God has planted a garden for man, and soon, woman will join the man herein. And what we find immediately captivating is the beauty of this place. Let me encourage you to read verses 9 through 14 of Genesis 2 for yourself. And we'll be talking about these verses in the days ahead, and I think you will find beauty here. You know, the Bible says God is beautiful. The glory of God is pure beauty to behold. Listen to two texts. First is Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Psalm 27, 4. I like that very much. To behold the beauty of the Lord. One day, in our eternal dwelling place in heaven, we shall forever and always behold the beauty of our God. Think of that today when you get sucked into the news and you get discouraged or angry or downright depressed. Christian, take heart. We will behold the beauty of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 17 describes prophetically the beauty of the Messiah, Jesus. I'm reading now Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 17. Your eyes will see the King in his beauty. They will behold a far distant land. Oh yes, we will see the beauty of King Jesus. The man Jesus, as when he was here, is a beautiful man. He must have been so beautiful to behold in his first coming, and behold, he is coming again. My point in sharing with you Psalm 27:4 and Isaiah 33:17 is this: as God is beautiful, so what he creates is beautiful. And we read of this beautiful garden in Genesis 2. Let me show you specifically where. Genesis 2, 9 says, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight. There is beauty. Every tree in the garden was pleasing to the sight. That is a great way to define the word beauty, by the way. Pleasing to the sight. Notice that every tree there was beautiful. There were many trees, and they were all gorgeous. Where I live, we have a lot of trees, and some of those trees are also beautiful. But if you ask me, I will tell you that not all of the trees are. In fact, I have seen some real ugly trees. I live in New England, here on the east coast of the United States, near Boston, when I am not overseas in Hong Kong. And I can tell you that this area is most beautiful in the autumn, in the fall months, especially October. Why? Because the leaves on the trees have changed color from green to orange, gold, red, yellow, brown, even purple. It's so colorful. The leaves, as they fall to the ground, always puts me in a great mood because they are beautiful. They make the trees look outstanding. Well, in the garden of God, all the trees are pleasing to the sight. There is beauty here, and there is also usefulness found within the garden. Better said, the garden is a very practical place. Notice, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. And good for food means that man can eat. Man and woman can use what is here. What grows on these trees is not plastic fruit that you would find in a bowl at a furniture showroom someplace. In the garden of God, the trees produce what is good for food. Quoting Dr. Kidner, the Lord God's provision is a model of parental care. On all sides, discoveries and encounters await man to draw out his powers of discernment and choice, and there is ample nourishment for his aesthetic, physical, and spiritual appetites. End quote. Indeed, there is ample nourishment in the garden of God. There is a very practical side to this garden God provides. I want to pick up on the comments of theologian John Calvin again, because I think he is right about what verse 9 tells us about what God is doing by providing all these trees which are beautiful but also practical. Calvin writes, "For not only was there an abundant supply of food, but with it was added sweetness for the gratification of the palate and beauty to feast the eyes. He calls this a full and happy abundance of all things, and says Adam had everything he needed, remarkable affluence, sweetness, variety." Calvin's vocabulary is rich. You can see why I quote him. And God tells us this, or God shows us this, because when we get over to the temptation of Adam in the garden by the serpent, and we read of Adam giving in, it is not because Adam did not have what he needed from the garden. This first man should have been plenty content. Instead, by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the man shows what Calvin calls a shameful ingratitude. Indeed, keep Genesis 2:9, our verse for today, in mind when you go over to Genesis chapter 3. And you will never remember this unless you write it down. So can I suggest a note in the margin of your Bible or on the notes section of your Bible app? Remember Genesis 2:9 in Genesis chapter 3. All right, I trust you were with me. We have looked at the first part of verse 9 and learned that the trees God caused to grow were both beautiful and practical. There is beauty and usefulness. As we enter the second part of the verse, we read about two specific trees. I'm halfway through Genesis 2, verse 9, reading, "The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And what we will do is take each tree one at a time. And I will say up front, I believe these to be two separate literal trees. They are not figurative, and they are not magical trees. This is not Harry Potter or even the Chronicles of Narnia. This is the Bible. They are both real trees and symbols of spiritual realities, life and knowledge. These are real trees growing out of the ground, just like all of the other trees that we have talked about. And notice, especially when you get to your Bible, that each tree is attached to an abstract concept. The first one is the tree of life. And so we have a real tree that represents life. And the second one is the tree of the knowledge. And so we have a real tree that represents knowledge. Our friend Dr. Alders associates the writing of Moses here with a similar approach to the Ark of the Covenant, the Rock of Strength, and the Blood of the Atonement elsewhere in the Old Testament. Here we have an object related to a concept, or if you prefer, an idea. This tree of life is similar to all the other trees in that it is useful to sustain life, but it is dissimilar in that this tree is singled out. The emphasis here is on eternal life. This is the life that comes from God. Pastor Harbash writes, "For man, life consists of living with God. To live apart from God is death." I'll repeat these wise words. For man, life consists of living with God. To live apart from God is death. To emphasize this, all good Bibles will have a note here that sends us over to the final book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ in chapters 2 and 22. We go from the first book of the Bible to the last. This tree appears again in heaven, as we saw last time. I'm reading Revelation 2, verse 7, and I'll just read the end since we had the whole verse yesterday. The tree of life which is in the paradise of God. And then in Revelation 22, we again find this tree in the new heavens and the new earth. Let me just read Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Down Main Street in heaven, this tree of life is on both sides. It produces 12 crops of fruit every month, and notice how the leaves sustain the eternal life of all who will live in heaven. Verse 14 of Revelation 22 calls us, those who, quote, have the right to the tree of life. Fascinating, isn't this? This is the first tree in Genesis 2:9, this tree of life. We're out of time, but a little more on this first tree tomorrow, and then we move ahead to the second tree. And we'll do all of this when you join me for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.